You can't help but love Simon Peter. He was clearly transparent. Whatever was in his mind came out his mouth uncensored, unrefined. From Scripture, we can deduct that he was boisterous, that he had an impulsive enthusiasm for good, for his good intentions, and that his posture waved back and forth between self-confident and egotism. There's a lot of Simon Peter in each of us. Perhaps that's why we're drawn to him. We too constantly make mistakes and need grace and forgiveness. Scripture tells us that Simon Peter was a master fisherman on the Lake of Galilee. He was one of the earliest disciples of Jesus. He was one of Jesus's closest friends and the first to recognize and verbally confess Jesus as Messiah. Jesus seemed to have had full access to Peter's boat and Peter's house. Peter was often the spokesperson for the disciples. Peter was definitely in Jesus's inner circle. He accompanied Jesus when he went to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. He was there at the transfiguration of Jesus. And though his eyelids got a bit heavy and he fell asleep from time to time, he watched as Jesus prayed for his cup to be removed. Peter was the one who walked on water and then started to overthink it and to doubt. And we know what happened next. Though not in the version of the Bible that we use, the gospel according to Peter exists. It's real. And scholars unequivocally claim it to be the work of the Apostle Peter. In spite of Peter's many shortcomings, Jesus said to him, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So it really comes as no surprise that Peter is the one who voices uneasiness and disapproval towards Jesus and what he is doing in tonight's gospel text. Just imagine Peter sitting there watching Jesus washing the feet of the other disciples and realizing that his turn is coming. Maybe he was afraid of the vulnerability of having Jesus wash his feet. And maybe he was having flashbacks. Perhaps he was thinking, "Oh, if I had enough faith to continue walking on that water, maybe I would be worthy. Maybe I should have been a lot less talkative and listened more. Maybe that would have made me worthy. Maybe I should not have outed him and called him Messiah. I'm definitely not worthy. I'm a sinner." If Simon Peter suffered from anxiety, any kind of anxiety disorder, this situation would probably have sent him into a full-blown anxiety attack. By the time Jesus got to Peter, he had totally convinced himself of how unworthy he was. He responded in his impulsive, enthusiastic way, "No way am I going to let you wash my feet. I should be washing yours. You are the Lord. I am your servant. Unworthy. Let me wash yours." We also get that way with Jesus, you know. We remind him of our shortcomings, of the things we didn't do, can't do, or don't do well. When in actuality, Jesus wants to wash our feet. Jesus wants to make us shareholders and partners in his work. We convince ourselves that because of our past, because of our failings, we are unworthy. We don't allow Christ to wash our feet. We refuse to become shareholders and partners. In Jesus' day, generally, it was the servant's job to wash the master's feet, not the other way around. But isn't it just like Jesus to upset social norms to make his point? Jesus' gesture is unquestionably an invitation to be a shareholder in God's work, the invitation to become partner. In response to Peter's adamant objection to his feet being washed, Jesus responds, "You don't understand now what I am doing, but it will be clear to you later." Perhaps this should be our mantra as we seek to live a Christian life. Not sure what God is doing now, but we are sure that it will be clear later. Or in the words of Kierkegaard, life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forward. Jesus goes on to say, if I don't wash you, you can't be a part of what I'm doing. Foot washing is symbolic of humility, loving servanthood, and partnership. What Jesus is saying is that foot washing is so important that without this discipline of humility, a disciple cannot be in partnership with God. Without it, we cannot share in the ministry of Jesus. Without it, we're not a part of what Jesus is doing. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." So by example, Jesus showed Peter, is showing us, that without humility and loving servanthood, partnership with God is not possible. So as we go into Easter and beyond, we are called to wash each other's feet. By extending love through servanthood, by humbly seeking Christ in each person, we are being shareholders and maintaining our partnership with Christ. In having Jesus wash our feet, in washing each other's feet, what we are saying is yes to God again. Yes, I want to be in on your ministry. I want to be your servant. I want to be in on your servant ministry, your ministry of love, your ministry of healing, your ministry of blessing. That's what we do every Monday, Thursday in the symbolic washing of each other's feet. We are vowing that we are shareholders and partners with Christ by serving Christ and being served by Christ. Amen.